All right, Trouble said, good morning. Let's begin. So we are picking up today's daf is Zayin. We are picking up Vav Amud Beis 6b, four lines up from the bottom, Itmar. I don't have my sponsorship sheet. I must have taken it. I took it last night after the shiur with my other papers. But our daf yomi shiurim for this month are sponsored by Yonason and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, in memory of Rachel's father, the Shama Shav and Aliyah, and by Bennett Goldberg, in loving memory of his parents, and in the zchus that the suburban mishpacha had their tefillos answered over the Yamim Noran. With that, let's begin. Itmar, Am Rabbi Yochanan. So what's Rabbi Yochanan says as follows. Fascinating Gemara. Ki Am Rabbi Akiva zrika mo'eles liyotze, sheyatza miktsaso. Avayaso kulo lo Am Rabbi Akiva. So let's remember again, going back to the Mishnah. So the machlokis in the Mishnah regarding what happens if you have the following situation. You have basar kodesh, basar, sacrificial meat, that leaves the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash prior to Zrika. Then what happens? Halacha l'maisa, the Zrika is subsequently performed. What is the impact of the Zrika on the meat? Sir Rabbi Eliezer essentially says, once the meat goes ahead and leaves the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, we're done. It is forever subject to Mi'ilah. The Zrika has no impact on it. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says that no, once it leaves the Beis HaMikdash, the Zrika still has the ability to remove the Mi'ilah status. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan qualifies Rabbi Akiva's statement. And he says, when does Rabbi Akiva say that Zrika works for Yotze? That's only if part of the meat left the karban. But if all of the meat left the Beis HaMikdash, then halacha lemaisa, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that the Zrika would not go ahead and remove the Me'ilah prohibition from the sacrificial meat. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Itma Aron Rabbi Yochanan Kimara Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mo'alas Liyotzei Haynu Sheyatza Miktsas HaBasar. This is only if some of the sacrificial meat was taken out, but some of it remained within the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo Yatza Kulo Demigo Demahayin Yizrika LeMiktsas Shebefnim Mahayin Amilahu Miktsas Sheyatza. Suppose say, so Rashi's logic is, since if some of the meat remains inside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, since the Zrika would work for the meat that remained inside, it should also what? Work for the meat that has been taken outside. But obviously, if all of the meat was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then that migo does not apply. It says Rashi, Aval Yatza Kulo, Lo Aval Yatza Kulo, Lo Amar Rabbi Akiva, Demahanya, Dekimo Delese Labasar Dami. Because if all of the meat was taken outside, then ultimately, again, there's no ability for that migo to apply. And if Halacha Lemaisa, the meat remains forever subject to the prohibition of Mi'ilah. Good, says the Gemara, Amrali Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Asi said to Rabbi Yochanan as follows, Kvar limduni chaveirai shebegola. So my friends in the diaspora already taught me the following, top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Nechashvin, this is actually a fascinating case, Nechashvin al ha'ovud va'al ha'sorof. So you have the ability to have machshav as pigel on ovud, on that which is lost, and on that which was destroyed. Take a look at Rashi, tap Rashi. Mechashin ala avud va'ala saruf. She'im, now they change it in the Hagos, it's Yunim. She'im ne'evdu o nisrafu. That if you have sacrificial meat that was lost or that was burnt, she'im ne'evdu o nisrafu ha'imurim, the sacrificial limbs, v'chishav bezrika amnaz lahaktiran chutz lizmanon, havi pigul. So listen to this interesting case. So I have sacrificial limbs. And what happened? Halacha lemaisa, I have sacrificial limbs that were lost or that were consumed. Essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is that halacha lemaisa, if you have a machshavas pigel, right? The pigel machshav, remember pigel means you have intent to eat it outside of that permitted time or permitted location. So halacha lemaisa, again, if you have a machshavas pigel on something that is lost or something that has been burned, ultimately what? The machshavas pigel works. So for example, if you had to machshavas pigel on something that was lost and then it was to be found and you were to eat it, you would be chayiv for consumption of pigel. Okay, so mechashen ala avid va'ala sarif. So the Gemara says, but one second, v'ha avid v'sarif lo isninon ba'olam. But yes, something that is lost or something that is burned does not exist in the world. V'afilu haki katani mechashven. And nevertheless, what do we see? We see that you could have a machshavas pigel on something that is quote unquote not in existence. Look at Rashi again. Va'avod v'sarif lo isnu ba'olam v'afilu haki katani mechashven. So also remember again, halacha lemaisa, if you have a machshavas pigel during the zrika, you have the ability to make this into pigel, even though what? Even though it does not, even though quote unquote it's not in existence. Hachinami afagav diyotza kulo dekamandele seidami tihani leizrika lafuke midemila. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. In the same way that technically speaking, apparently, one could have machshavas pigel on something that is lost or has been burned. The Gemara is raising this kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Asi saying to Rabbi Yochanan, you paskin, that shitas Rabbi Akiva, that me'ila could work even for meat, sacrificial meat that was taken, that zrika could work to remove me'ila, even from sacrificial meat that was removed from the Beis HaMikdash, is only when some of the meat was taken out, but part of it remained in. And the logic, therefore, is that since the zrika works for the meat that remained inside, it also works what? For the meat that was removed. But if all of the meat was removed, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that such a zrika does not remove the me'ila status. Tuch Rav Asi says, why? The same way that you could have a machshavas pigel on something that what? That is not in existence, right? It was lost, it was burned, and yet again your machshavas pigel could still devolve upon that object. So to what? Halacha lemaisa, you should be able to affect, the zrika should be able to remove me'ila even for meat that is quote unquote not in existence. What's the definition of not in existence in this context? Outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, Mi amar Rabasi achi? Does Rabasi really hold this way? Does Rabasi really paskin like this? That halacha lemaisa, again, you could have a situation where you could impact change on an item that is quote unquote not in existence. Rabasi say, see, the fundamental machlokas over here, you understand, what are they arguing about? Really, what they're arguing, well, it appears what they're arguing about, like on a larger level, is can you affect change on something that is not in existence? So Rabbi Yochanan is going to posit, no. If there's no sacrificial meat inside the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, the Zrika cannot remove Me'ila. Again, if there's something here in the Beis HaMikdash, so since the Zrika removes Me'ila on the piece of meat inside of the Beis HaMikdash, it'll remove the Me'ila on the part of the meat outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But if there's nothing inside the Beis HaMikdash, then Zrika can't do anything. Rav Asi seems to hold that halacha lemaisa, so sacrificial processes can impact change even on items that are not in front of us at the present moment. So for example, you could have a machshavas pigel on something that has been burnt, that has been lost, even though it is not in front of me. Umiyam Rav Asi achi, did Rav Asi really hold like this? Right? Does he actually hold this way? V'haba amine Rav Asi me Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi has the following kasha from Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Remember, for our purposes over here, if we kind of condense this, Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan would be having a machlokes in Shitas Rabbi Akiva. So again, let's just review. Very, very, very important to hold cup on this. Rabbi Akiva holds what? Rabbi Akiva holds that if you have a case of Basar Kodshe Kadoshim that was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash before Zerika, Rabbi Akiva holds that what? Once Zrika is done, Zrika has the ability to remove Me'ila, even though the meat was outside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash. That Shitas Rabbi Akiva. We now seemingly have a machlokes in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We have Rabbi Yochanan telling us Rabbi Akiva only holds that way when? When some of the meat has remained inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And the logic is a very straightforward logic. Amigo, since the Zrika could impact change on the meat that is inside of the Beis HaMikdash, it also impacts change on the part of the meat that's outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But if none of the meat was left inside the Beis HaMikdash, everything was taken out, then halacha lemaaseh, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that the Zrika does not remove Me'ila. Rav Asi comes along and Rav Asi disagrees. He says, no. even if it appears, Rav Asi says no, even if all of the meat was taken outside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, what? Halacha lemaisa, the Zrika has the ability to remove Mi'ila. To which the Gemara says, really? Umiyama Rav Asi Achi, does Rav Asi really hold this way? And if you look at Rashi, right across, Umiyama Rav Asi Achi, Tichi Yatsa Kula Mahanya Le Zrika, does Rav Asi really hold that if all of the meat left the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, that Zrika would remove Mi'ila? After all, we learned Vahabba, I mean, Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi has to find the Kashra and Rav Yochanan. Interesting case. Chishav Linishpachin Lemachar Mahu. But listen, listen to this interesting case. What happens if a person had pigal intent for Nishpachin? Now, let's say if you look at Tosus on the left side over here, so you see Tosus right across from Shita Mikubeses. Do you see that? Where it says Elanira Lari. See that? So I say, Satosa says as follows. Just to explain this case. Elanira Lari, the Kaboi, Bemechashe Bishas Zrika, Amanas Lizro Kadam Shen Nishpach Min Hakli Lamachar. Disnan, Nishpach. Nishpach, he changes that. Nishpach Al Haritzpa. Nishpach Al Haritzpa. Vaasvu Pasol. Min Hakli Vaasvu Kasher. Miyar Minan Hachazi Dimirtse Yasin of Yizrakenu. Oh, Dilma Hoyle Vein Mitzvah La Osvo. How are they holy? This is an interesting case. Here's the case of Nishpach. I have blood. Shechted the animal, collected its blood in a kli. I'm walking towards the Beis HaMikdash. What happens? Some of the blood spills out from my cup. Right? Some of the blood spills out. That's called Nishpach. Shabbos says, so technically speaking, if I wanted to, I could gather up that blood and I could still use it for Zrika. It's not possible, but I could still use it for Zrika. Do I have to gather it up? No. As long as I have enough blood left in my cup to do Zrika, I'm good to go. There is no obligation to go ahead and gather it up. I can, but I don't have to. So I'll say, so now listen to this fascinating Shaila. What happens if I have Machshavas Pigel on the Nishpachin? So remember again, so blood spills out of my cup. I have in mind to do what? I'm going to collect it back up and I'm going to sprinkle this tomorrow. So I'll say, so the Shaila is, does that Machshavas Pigel compromise the carbon? On one hand, I could say, it's Pigel. Pigel is pigel, right? This is blood that is fit to be sprinkled on the altar, and I had an erroneous mindset, therefore should disqualify it. On the flip side, what could I say? It's unnecessary blood. I don't need it. I have enough blood in the utensil, and therefore Allah said the blood that's spilled on the ground is naturally essential for me. So listen to this. So mahu, so chishev the nishpach in the machar mahu. What happens if you had in mind to go ahead and sprinkle the nishpach in the blood that's spilled tomorrow? Amar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera said, Kavash Shani Salon. We already learned this. So listen to this. Where do we already learn this? Alal. So the Gemara just says, Alal. As if we're supposed to understand what that means. Right? If you look at Tosas again, Tosas says, Amar Rabbi Zera Ravasi, Rabbi Kavash Shani Salon, Alal, Bizvachin Parakapos, Hapsulin, Kal Hapsulin, Hashochet Es Hazevach Amanas Lechol Et Min Ha'alal, In chayav and alav mishum pigel, va'alal who git had savar kidim afarish barot. So it's apparently the alal is like some type of bone in the neck that technically can be eaten, but is not normally eaten. So we'll say, listen to this. So if a person shechted a carbon and they had a machshavas pigel on the alal, they had in mind to what? Eat the alal tomorrow. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Alal, alma hay alal, kivan de lespe mashasha, lo kibel tuma. So we'll say ultimately what? So what do we see? We see from here that halacha, so we'll say if you had in mind to eat the alal tomorrow, that does not create a chalos shem pigol on the carbon. Interesting. Why not? Look at Rashi, Atosis, excuse me. Alma hay alal, kivan de lespe mashasha, lo mahani be machshava, perish, sheino chashuv. So therefore, the Gemara suggesting is like this. This is really quite fascinating. The same way that the alal, so if you have in mind to eat from that neck bone, which technically speaking can be consumed, but lamaisa, most people don't eat it. So if you have in mind to eat that tomorrow, 2 days from now, halacha lamaisa, it does not render the carbon pigel. Why? Because it's considered to be a non-consumable part of the carbon. Both say, by the way, it's the same way, just so you should know in general, we've never actually spoken about this. Halacha l'maaseh, if you have a mind to eat the hide in 2 days from now, that does not render the carbon pigul. Because ultimately, and such a machshava like that is meaningless because people don't eat the hide. So therefore, halacha l'maaseh, same thing with the olal. So we'll say, what does the Gemara see from here? The Gemara therefore says, hani nishpach enami, kevan deli'ibod azli behu machshava lo mahanyo. There we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maaseh, same thing by the nishpachin. Since the nishpachin, since the blood that's spilled, I don't need it. And therefore, presumably, it is just going to what? It is just going to be, usually we'll say, it's just going to be pushed down the drain, right? There was a drain in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's just going to be pushed down the drain because it's simply not necessary. Therefore, halacha l'maaseh, machshavas pigul will not compromise that as well. So therefore, I will say, so there, Ela diktani ala avud va'ala sarav kasha. But 1 second. So we'll say, here's the question. So what do I do with that brisa about ala avid va ala sarf? So we'll say, so what we wanted to say was like this. At first we thought that Rabbi Asi was arguing on Rabbi Yochanan. And that Rabbi Asi held that halacha l'maisa, even if the carbon in its entirety ultimately goes out of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Akiva would still hold that the zrika works to take away mi'ila. Now we've shown that that's not totally true. That's not necessarily true. If that's the case, what do we do with the braisa of ala avod va'ala sarf? Which Rabbi Yochanan means what? That halacha l'maisa, in a case where the meat was lost, or the meat was burned, and a person had machshavas pigul on these limbs, even though they don't currently exist, quote-unquote, you could still make the carbon pigul, which seems to indicate to us what? That even if something is not in existence, ultimately, again, you could still affect change in that item. That led us to believe that Rav Asi held that even if all of the meat was taken outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Zrika could still remove Me'ila. Now we're showing that's not necessarily true. Okay, so what do you do with that Braisa? So the Gemara is Amarava, Ema al ha'omed li'ibod va'al ha'omed li'sarif. So Rava says you have to reinterpret it. You have to reinterpret it to mean meat that is fit for ibud, for destruction, or I should say to be lost, or that is standing, or that is ready to be burnt. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, right back to the right-hand side, Amar Rava, Ema machshava ala omed li'abed va'ala omed li'sarif techevan. Dibishas zrika kishechishev akati havukamon af agav deshuv neevdu onisrafu mahani b'machshav. So we'll say, therefore, the Gemara reclarifies the case. This is not a case where the piece of meat was lost or was burned, but it is about to be lost and about to be burned. The idea being that at the time you had the machshavas pigul, it was still in existence, and because it was still in existence, therefore, what the machshavas pigul devolves upon the item. Beautiful. Amar Rav Papa. Lo Amar Rabbi Akiva Zrika Ma Elas Liotse. So we'll say now again. So we'll say, so just where we're holding right now, it would appear that there's no machlokis Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, and both hold that halacha lemaisa according to Rabbi Akiva, in order for Zrika to work on meat in order for Zrika to remove the meila status of meat that has left the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, there must still be some meat that was left inside. If all of the meat has left, then halacha l'maisa, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that Zrika does not remove Me'ila. That's where it sounds like he's holding right now. Halacha l'maisa, we'll have to see. We're not finished yet. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Lo Amra Rabbi Akiva, Zrika mo elis liotse, elis shiatza basar. What's another qualification? Rabbi Papa says, Rabbi Akiva holds that Zrika works for Yotze only with meat. Aval dam ein Zrika mo elis liotse. But halacha l'maisa, if you took blood out of the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Even if there's some blood left inside, halacha l'maisa, the zrika does not remove me'ila. So the Gemara says, Tanya nami hachir b'isa, that supports this. Shachat b'shtika. So what's it? The case of shachat is an interesting formulation. Shachat b'shtika means you shechted and you had no erroneous intent. Shachat b'shtika. A tranquil shechita. There's nothing like a tranquil shechita, right? So what's it? I just had shechita, no pigul, no nosar, no nothing, no this. I just had stand intent. So shachat b'shechita v'yatzah dam. So I shechted normally, and I took the blood out of the precincts of the Beis Hamikdash. Afa pisha chazar v'zarko. Even though I brought the blood back in and I sprinkled it, lo asav lo klum. Ultimately, again, my actions are totally ineffective. So in other words, Rabbi say, even the great Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Tzrika could work to remove Me'ila from meat that was taken outside, will hold that once blood was taken outside, we're done. Right? There's nothing more sacrificially you can do. And therefore, again, ultimately, for our purposes, in Meseches Me'ila, the blood remains forever subject to the prohibition of Mi'ilah. So Zarko v'lo asav v'lo klum, pekatshe kadashim, mo'al in bo. So we'll say, therefore, again, if the carbon in question was katshe kadashim, it remains subject to Mi'ilah, pekatshim kalin, ein mo'al in bo. So we'll say, we've already seen this inverse relationship. Remember, again, as we pointed out yesterday, katshe kadashim begin in a state of Mi'ilah, and Zrika, proper Zrika, removes the prohibition of Mi'ilah. Katshim kalim only become subject to Mi'ilah when? After an appropriate Zriga. So if you shecht it and you took the blood outside for Katshe Kadashim, the inability to, now you can't perform Zriga anymore, the inability to perform Zriga renders the animal eternally subject to Mi'ilah, the carbon eternally subject to Mi'ilah, and for Katshim Kalim, it precludes it from acquiring a Mi'ilah status. Am Rabbi Akiva ha ze lemad dome. So let's remember again, Rabbi Akiva compared this case of Mi'ilah to the case of the two chatos. Two chatos, right? Rabbi Akiva said, if I have a chatos, I lost it, designate another one, find the first one, shecht them both, offer up one. Once I do zrika on one, it goes ahead and what? Exempts the other one from Mi'ilah as well. So if it exempts the other one from Mi'ilah, it certainly would exempt itself from Mi'ilah. Rabbi Akiva uses this as the argument ultimately, to say that even if meat went out of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore a kornakot is no longer fit, like the second chatos that is no longer fit, the zrika that is done should still exempt it from Me'ilah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kema Rabbi Akiva Basachas. When does Rabbi Akiva hold this case of chatos? That's only if both chatos were shechted at the same time. But if the chatos were shechted sequentially, then halacha lemaisa, ultimately, the zrika of chatas number one would not exempt the meat of chatas number two from Me'ilah. So I'm Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Akiva, Tanya. I'm sorry, no, I'm Rabbi Akiva. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon. Keshalachti l'kfar panoi, matzani mitzani zakin echad v'amrali. So let's say, so Rabbi Shimon says, when I went to the village of Panoi, or Pa'ani, excuse me, I found a particular zakin, and he said to me as follows, v'amrali, Omer Hay Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva used to say, Zrika mo elis liyotze. Rabbi Akiva said that Zrika works for Yotze, that even if meat was taken outside of the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, halacha l'maisa, the Zrika removes the Me'ilah. Amarti lo, I said back to this old man, Hain, that is true. And when I told over this conversation in front of my friends in the Galil, Amruli, they said to me, Halo Pasalhu, at the end of the day, this meat will be pasal, right? This carbon is pasal. Heich meratza al hapasal. How could it be that Zrika will work for a carbon that is pasal? Ukishiatsasi vihertsesi divarim lifnei Rabbi Akiva. And when I came and I said over this whole thing in front of Rabbi Akiva, Amr Ali Bani said to me, my son, Iyata Omer Kain, do you not agree with me that Allah Khalamaisa, even if the meat was taken out, the zrika that is done will still remove the prohibition of Mi'ilah from it? After all, if somebody separated the chatos and the chatos animal was lost, and he designated then a second animal, and then he finds the first chatos, and both of them are standing before me. That was saying that both of them standing before me. The Gemara is understanding to mean what? Both of them were shechted at the same time. Mo'alin b'shtehen. Ultimately, again, they are both subject to Me'ilah. Shachtan. If you went ahead and you shechted them, again, this is assuming at the same time. Shachat shtehen. The Hagolsium changes it. Shachtan. V'hari daman munach b'kosos. And their blood, right? Both of them have blood in a cup. Mo'al and b'shteyem, both are still subject to Me'ilah. Amid beis, nizrak dam shel echad mehem, if the blood of one of them was thrown, iyat hamodeh shekeshem shedama poteres b'sara min ha-Me'ilah, Af yiftar basar chaverta min hameilav. So don't you agree with me that halacha lamaisa, once you do zrika on one of them, so the same way that the zrika works ultimately again to go ahead and exempt the meat of the chatas being offered up from me'ila, so that zrika will also work to exempt the other chatas from me'ila. Emhitzil basa chaverta min hameila. If it's able to go ahead and save its fellow's meat from me'ila, or is the second chatas from me'ila, afa pishu basal. We'll say, now let's be clear. Even though Rabbi Akiva is positing that the zrika of chatas number one exempts chatas number two from me'ila, understand what's the status of chatas number two? It's pasul. Remember again, that's a moser chatas. Remember, it's a leftover chatas. We already know leftover chatas, there's nothing to do with it anymore. So we'll say, so again, even though it's pasul, it's taking away me'ila, dinhu shiyatzil as bisara. Then certainly Rabbi will say, if at the end of the day, a zrika of chatas number one could exempt chatas number two, which is a carbon pasul, ultimately again from me'ila, certainly in a case of yotze, where the sacrificial meat was taken outside, zrika could still work to remove me'ila status. Amrei Shagish Rabbi Yoshia, tshuva ginuva hishiva Rabbi Akiva la'osa talmid. So we'll say, so Rabbi Akiva literally responded, a stolen answer, right? A stolen answer. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi on the left-hand side, tshuva gnuva heshivu kilomar lo haisa ma'al yasa. It's not really such a good answer. Not really such a good answer, Rashi says. Ha de yeshivu v'shachat eshtein d'mashra v'asachas az dama poter basa chaverta afa gav t'pasuhu d'hachi mashra d'chi hechi d'mefarisho v'lazer le'el d'lo om Rabbi Akiva ala sheshachat eshtein v'asachas. So we'll say ultimately again that Rabbi Akiva is dafka talking about a case where halacha lemaisa both animals were shechted simultaneously. That's where you have this ability, because of this simultaneity, that's where you have this ability for the zrika of animal number one to go and remove the me'ila ultimately again of animal number two. V'as achos in b'zeh achar zeh lo. So we'll say this would seem, so Rabbi Akiva seems to be setting this up as dafka situation of where both animals were shechted simultaneously, but if they were shechted one after the other, it could be that Rabbi Akiva would not hold like this. The chevan de pasul hu mali bevas achas mali bezachaze. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand. The chatas designations are the same. The first chatas you're offering up, that is your bona fide chatas. The second chatas is the chatas psula. What does it matter if you're offering them up, if you're slaughtering them at the same time, or if you're slaughtering them one after the other? What does it really matter? In other words, we're both saying, if the logic is true, that halacha lemaisa, the zrika of chatas number one could take away the me'ila of chatas number two, then why does that only work if they're shechted at the same time versus sequentially? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, v'ata, i'ata Amar Kain, Reish Lakish, do you not agree with this premise? We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Mali b'basachos, mali b'basachos, mali b'zachaz, hoil usvir lev Rabbi Akiva, didama poter basar chaverta, afagav depasol, mishum mosar chatos, kiechi dechashavta lehu kiguf echad, b'shachta nami b'zachaz, teidama poter es shal chaverta, elevade tshuva genuva hidaloshas. We'll listen to this. So what the Gemara is suggesting is like this. The Gemara understands, we'll say, what is the svara of Rabbi Akiva? Right? Why is it that Rabbi Akiva holds that in this case of two chatos, when you shecht the first one, which is the proper chatos that you're offering, and you do zrika, that zrika exempts the meat of chatos number two from Mila? What's the logic of that? So the Gemara seems to understand that Rabbi Akiva's logic is because both chatos are looked at as one unit, kiguf echad, as one unit, which makes sense. They're both being brought, they've both been separated because of the same prohibition, the same action. They're both related. Rabbi Akiva looks at them, therefore, as one unit. Obviously, I can't offer up two chatos. I'm only going to offer one. But because they are linked, therefore, the zrika of number one ultimately takes care of the me'ila of number two. To which the Gemara just says, okay, I hear that svara, but if that's true, then why does that only work if they're shechted at the same time? In other words, even if they're shechted one after the other, that life, if they're guf echad, like one unit, number one should remove the me'ilah of number two, even if they're not shechted at the same time. To which the Gemara says, Do you not hold of this? To which the Gemara says, Ilu hifrish te'ashamos la'achrayas. Listen to this case. if a person were to separate out two asham offerings, la'achrayis. I will say, now remember again, why am I separating out two? I only have to bring one asham. So why am I separating two? Because halacha l'maaseh insurance. This way, if one gets lost, I have enough for the other. I have a replacement animal. V'shachat eshnehen, and I ended up shechting both of them. V'kivein v'hela imur shel echad mehem. So ultimately, again, and they end up offering up one of them. V'kivein v'hela imur shel echad mehem kodem zrika. The interesting case over here is, I end up putting the limbs of one of the animals on the mizbeach before zrika. So I switched up the order over here. Now Rashi points out the achrakach zarak hadamia asham shelo kirvo emurav. Now, this is a little bit of a convoluted case. I have two ashamas. I shecht them both. I end up going ahead and putting the limbs of asham number one on the mizbeach, and I end up doing zrika from the blood of asham number two. So Rabbi says the Gemara. Iatamoda. So Rabbi said, this is Rabbi Yochanan speaking to Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, Iatamoda shim alu yerdu, that halacha lemaisa, if you put the limbs up, you must take them down. You must take them down. Now, what does that show you? So Rabbi said, what that shows you is what? That even though these are both ashamos and they're both related, they're not looked at as one goof. Right? They're not looked at as one body, as one entity. Because if they were looked at as one entity, then what? Then let it stay. Because the zrika, even though it comes from the second animal, that's okay, even though the limbs are from the first animal. And if you think it's just one guf, why ultimately, again, if you put the limbs on, would you have to take them down? After all, ha'amar ula. So it changes it over here. Good. Ha'amar ula, a mure kachim kalim shehelon lefnei zrikas dam, lo yerdu. That ultimately, again, if you go out and you take the limbs of kachim kalim, you put them on the mizbeach before the zrika, you don't have to take them down. Na'asu lachmo shal mizbeach. Because you're supposed to, under normal circumstances, although we don't want you putting limbs on the mizbeach prior to zrika, if you did it, you could leave it. So the fact over here that halacha l'maisa, this doesn't work, indicates to us that the two ashamas are not like one guf. Ishtik. He was quiet. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Katzatz tinun l'ragloi diyinuka." We have cut off the feet of the child. So we'll say, which is another way of saying, apparently Reish Lakish was younger than Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, I've bested the child, right? I've cut out his feet from under him. He cannot answer my shayla. So we'll say. So therefore, again, it appears that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Yochanan rejected the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's whole model seems to be built on this idea that ultimately, again, the two karbanos by chatos are considered to be one unit. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not so pashet. Not everybody agrees with that. Good. So we'll leave there. So I just want to point out. So remember, we saw the halacha yesterday in the machlokis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. We paskin like Rabbi Eliezer that once meat is taken outside of the precincts of the Beis Hamikdash, me'ila no longer works to go ahead. Zrika no longer works to remove me'ila. So we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, not like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore ultimately, the rest of the discussion is a bit moot as well. Though we'll come back in Meretz Hashem to the concept of Kachim Kalim. Again, Rabbi Akiva's whole discussion about part of the meat remaining inside, part of the meat going outside, doesn't really register on the Halacha L'maisa radar, because you don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, Halacha L'maisa, if you shech the karban, take the meat outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even if Zrika is subsequently done, that Zrika by Kachim Kadoshim, that Zrika will not remove Me'ila status. And if it was Kachim Kalim, that Zrika ultimately, again, will not allow Me'ila to devolve upon the carbon. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. Ma'aseh Domim. Be'kachim Kadoshim la'hakir la'hakir. We'll say, when it comes to Ma'aseh Domim means the blood service, right? Zrika. Truth is, the blood service is more than Zrika. It's also Kabbalah, Zrika. So Ma'aseh Domim be'kachim Kadoshim la'hakir la'hakir. So we'll say, when it comes to the blood service, by Kachek Adashim, remember again, our highest sanctity karbanos, Chatas, and Asham, and Ola, Shlamim. So ultimately, again, when it comes to Kachek Adashim, so the blood services ultimately has elements that are Lahakil and Lahachmir. Ubi Kachim Kalim, ultimately again, Kulan Lahachmir. everything is, all the blood services ultimately are the chumra. So what does this mean? Okay, so here we go. So kachay kadashim lefnei zrikastam and malin be'emureinu b'basar. So when it comes to kachay kadashim, remember again, so before zrika takes place, what's the halacha? Everything is subject to me'ilah. The meat is subject to me'ilah. The emurin, I'll say emurin refers to the limbs, which are going to be burned on the mizbeach. So both the meat and the limbs are subject to me'ilah. La'achar zrikastam, by kachay kadashim, after you do the zrika, so what happens? Molin be'emurehen, ve'in molin babasar. So halacha l'maisa, the limbs that are supposed to go on the mizbeach are still subject to me'ilah, which makes sense. But the meat, which is to be consumed by the kohanim or the owner, depending on which karban, will not be subject to me'ilah. Va'alzeh v'zeh, but both for the meat as well as for the imurin, chayuv mishum pigol. No sar v'tameh. You will be chayuv ultimately again because of pigol, no sar v'tameh. So we'll say some in others, even halacha l'maisef, there's no longer a prohibition of me'ilah, this meat could still be subject to no sar pigol and tameh. Nimsa ma'ase damim b'kachay kadashim l'hakel, so we'll say, therefore, what do you see? You see that halacha l'maisa by kachay kadoshim. So there is both a chumra and a kula, right? The kula ultimately, again, will be that what? After zrika, the basar is no longer subject to me'ilah, but the chumra will be what? Even after zrika, the emurin, the sacrificial limbs, will still be subject to me'ilah. Next. When it comes to kachim kalim, the blood service is only yields chumras. How so? Ketzad kachim kalim lifnei zrikas damim. So we'll say if you have kachim kalim before zrika, ein molin lo be'emurin v'lo be'basar. So we'll say if you have kachim kalim before zrika, saloch l'maisan, there is no me'ilah, neither by limbs nor by basar. This is by kachim kalim la'achar zrika stamim, and after the zrika occurs, molin be'emurin vein molin babasar. Ultimately, again, there is me'ilah for the sacrificial limbs, but no me'ilah by the meat. Alzeh v'alzeh, both for the limbs as well as the sacrificial meat, chayav analav mishum pigol, no sar v'tameh. You will be chayav ultimately, again, because the pigol, no sar v'tameh. Nimtsa ma'ase dam b'kachim kalim, kulan v'hachmer. And therefore, we'll say, what do you see? You see when it comes to kachim kalim, halacha l'maisa, the zrikas hadam only yields chumras and does not yield kulas. Right, so we'll stop over here for today. Meretz Hashem, we'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow. Shkoyach.